Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, we're talking about Pelham 123.
The taking of Pelham 123.
The taking of Pelham 123 is the 1970s film on which this is sort of named and loosely based on. I guess it's based on the same book, probably, that the original film was based on. The original film had Walter Matthau and Robert Shaw. This film has Denzel Washington and John Travolta, directed by Tony Scott. From the get-go, it's very in-your-face.
I forgot to say that the original one also had Ben Stiller's dad in it.
But Jerry Stiller, is in the original?
He's a sidekick.
Did it have Carmelita in it, too?
No, I don't think Carmelita was in it.
His sidekick is Jerry Stiller in it.
Okay, good point.
They have good interplay.
They did, yeah.
Stiller, for some reason, is playing an Italian guy, which I guess maybe he is. I don't know. I don't know what kind of last name Stiller is. But it's always weird to see him younger, because it just looks like He's about to age any second. Even when he was, like, 30, he looked like he was about to age any second, just to, like, 70 years old.
Good point.
Go ahead, go on.
So this one is just straight up New York, modern day, post 9/11, I guess. It's a big technology stuff. Everyone's got Bluetooth and laptops and Wi-Fi and all that. And
crazy fucking girlfriends.
Crazy girlfriends. And it just gets started. It's got the Jay-Z song, and it kicks you in the teeth, and doesn't let go.
Let go of your teeth?
You got ridiculous amounts of over-cranking. I mean, Tony Scott is definitely toning himself down in this film, which is a good thing.
Only in the second act.
Yeah, really. But with the filters and stuff, like, it's not as bad.
It wasn't as filtered, for sure.
So it wasn't as bad as something like Man on Fire.
They dumped the Bruckheimer filters and kind of just went with a more straight-up look, but he's still overcranked and for some reason kept insisting on throwing the time there, mm-hmm. even though every 30 seconds somebody was mentioning how much time they had.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if that was a reference to the original. Did
the original never
that?
Ever showed the time.
Yeah, the original.
They just told you how much time you had.
I'll be, you know, full disclosure here. I prefer the original's aesthetic. This is perpetual dolly moving, and he's doing a lot of handheld stuff with smash zooms. Which are just obnoxious, and then they, on top of that,
I didn't notice much of that.
They reinforce like the smash zooms with the score.
It might have been the score to Armageddon.
Yeah,
it sounded kind of like it was the score to Armageddon.
It was a pretty miserable score. It was very, very generic. Who cares? You know, it put the little piano-y parts in to make you feel sympathetic for the guy when he's talking to his wife or whatever. But other than that, I mean, as a story, I'd say it's a pretty solid heist film. You know, it moves along at a good clip, and it, you know, it's got some interesting characters. All that I would probably attribute to the book. I mean, that most of that's in the original movie too. I did have some problems with Denzel Washington's character, only in that I feel like they could have gone further to schlep him up. I think that get rid of the earring and give him like a clean shaven face, and he would have just looked more like schlubby, and it would have worked better to me. Instead, he still had to sort of seem cool. He still had the goatee and the earring, and he still seemed very cool as a cucumber. And
I had issues with his character, and I felt like John Travolta was in a way rehashing his character from Broken Arrow
and Face Off
and
Swordfish.
I forgot all about Swordfish.
I was kind of wishing he had a swordfish hair in this, but he had one reviewer that I read pretty frequently had said something hilarious about this one. He said that the most noticeable thing in the movie is that all of Travolta's facial hair looks like he's playing Tetris on his face with his like rectangular sideburns that go down 8 inches and the like perfectly square Fu Manchu. It looks like there's just like someone was trying to fit hair on his face in certain ways and trying to lock it together.
Didn't he have like a soul patch in Swordfish?
Yeah, that was gross. It was
terrible.
The thing I respect about Travolta is no matter what kind of wigs he wears, he hasn't completely, you know, he hasn't gotten rid of the sideburns. I think the sideburns accentuate the wig. I mean, whatever kind of terrible wig you're going to throw yourself, at least if you've got sideburns, then it looks like, well, you know, he has some real hair growing on his body somewhere. And the thing that Nicolas Cage has done so poorly is, as he's been losing his hair over the past 30 years, is that he's taken, you know, I understand the wigs, whatever. He's got the weird swept back. It looks like a Dracula's cape or something like that on top of his head. But then he has no sideburns, so it just looks like somebody kind of took this wig and haphazardly just like draped it across the back of his head. And there's no, it almost looks like there's no hair underneath him. Like he was auditioning for an extra in the THX movie or something. And they just like, here's a wig. That'll fit. That's good enough. Like they threw it at him.
You know, that was also one of the more endearing parts of Bruce Willis was embracing that, you know?
Oh, yeah. He totally embraced it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, he'll grow the stubble, too.
Uh-huh.
And he'll do the thing where, like, if you grow it out a tiny bit, then everyone can still tell you're bald.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Travolta is actually, like, if you're...
Is that accurate, what we're getting in Pelham? Is that about how his hair looks?
No, except for they sprayed it so it looks like he has it. Because he's got patches. You know, mm-hmm. I got a little patch right here also. But, yeah. but up here in this spot, he doesn't have any. I've seen pictures of him exiting a plane probably after he was kissing a guy. Just like that old New York Post picture or whatever. but he really doesn't have much on top. And he's done really well to hide that. Because even when he goes out for public appearances, he wears some sort of wig. And it's strange because it's like one week he'll be wearing hair that's about 5 inches longer than it was the week before, it seems like. And you think people may not notice that, but I don't know. I think I would notice.
Yeah.
But in this, I think what they did is they just took a little of that spray-on mulch stuff. And you cover in the actual spots. And that way it looks like, you know, the dots are all connected.
It fills it out and everything, yeah.
I suppose we should move to a different topic other than hair.
I can keep talking about this,
right? Yeah,
I'm just thinking Sean Connery. I mean, he had some major hair pieces.
He's had some ridiculous hair pieces.
But the Untouchables, you know, he sported it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Last Crusade, again, sported it.
Yeah, had to. No, I like what they're doing in... I just saw a trailer for that... Surrogate, or whatever it's called, that one with Bruce Willis, yeah. That other one where everyone's in a robot body. It just sounds ridiculous. It looks like a stupid movie. But the thing is, he's got the robot body with the stupid hair, but then they make a point that the real him is, like you said, is the stubbly head, bald-headed guy. And I'm like, that's great. I love how Bruce Willis is just, like you said, he holds to it.
Did you see the one with De Niro when he's it came out? Very recently. And it got great reviews.
I want to see that now.
It's actually on Netflix. I should just watch it. But Bruce Willis plays himself, except for he's bald, but he's grown a massive beard, like 2 feet long. And he can't get any roles. And this guy is, the De Niro character is, he's either an agent or somebody like that, a manager or something like that. And he spends most of the movie arguing with Willis about him cutting off his beard so he can get a role. And he's like, I'm not doing it, like really angrily. I guess that was kind of like they said the funniest thing.
It's got to be. I think I'm going to have to check that movie. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, back to Pelham.
Now, you haven't seen the original, right?
No.
Because I mentioned
that the other day.
And I thought that was strange because you've seen most old copish type movies.
I had never even heard of it, actually.
It's good. You like it.
I watched it. You know, I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. And it doesn't have much going for it. And here's, I thought, where this first one was slightly better, but then had a problem also, this new one. The first one, there was no motivation at all for Walter Matthau's character to be involved except for that's his job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they did in old movies. These days, they don't do it so much anymore. In the new one, you set up Denzel's character to have some sort of backstory and something that makes them similar. And
his backstory.
He may or may not have taken a bribe, who cares, all this stuff. But he gets more like emotionally involved. And then in the third act, you take that away because there's literally no reason for him to follow those guys.
It's true.
Literally
none
whatsoever.
A superfluous car chase when he's been so good about like being on the radio and being communicative about information and keeping track of stuff. He could have said, he just took off, he's in the cab, this is the cab's number, and then that's that.
But he tried calling on the phone in the thing.
You know, this is one continuity that really bothered me. Any guesses what it might be in regarding?
No.
No.
Gun.
What about it?
Well, the gun...
They never chambered around, right?
No, well, I mean, that makes no difference. I mean, they could have handed it to him with the round in the chamber.
Okay.
No, the first gun that the guy was demonstrating the safety to,
okay,
that was a Walther PPK.
Okay.
The gun he had later was not a Walther PPK.
So they just got that wrong?
Well, for a while, yeah. Well, I mean, they just changed it, and I think the reason they did that is they wanted a really great shot of a safety, and the gun that he had later, I think, was a car, and a lot of newer... You know, police-type guns don't have safeties. So they wanted that shot of a safety, so they switched guns. It really pissed me off.
Okay, I get you.
Because they even focused in on the Walther.
Right. And Blaine should probably just watch movies for guns and then have a discussion of how they switch. I think Tony Scott in this case was like, they were like, hey, you know, you got two different guns here. And he'd be like, you know what? It's moving. The camera's moving so fast, no one
knows. No one's going to notice.
Yeah,
and those guys didn't notice. They're crazy anymore.
Yeah. No, I mean, like you said, the Matthau character in the original, I don't even think... Well, you never found out if he was married or anything like that. And wasn't he a transit cop? Well, so in this one, he's just sort of like a transit, like he's a bureaucrat. Totally.
Well, he works for the city. He's one of those.
Jimmy Gandolfini's men.
He was a transit cop in the first one. And the only thing that really made it interesting about his character was that you assumed that they made you to assume that he wasn't going to get the job done because the first time you see him, he's sleeping.
Yeah.
In the original movie. He's working, but he's sitting there on a bench sleeping at his job, and somebody walks up and goes, hey, you got to show these Japanese businessmen around the place. None of them can speak English, he thinks. Mm-hmm. And so then he goes around for the first 10 minutes showing them the station and everything that happens, and the whole time he's insulting them, and he's saying things that, like, making things up as he tells them. And then, like, after all of that, like, they start talking to him in English, and he's like, those things, you know?
No, you should check out the original, Mark. You would like
it. It's decent. It's definitely...
It's more unique than this.
It's more unique.
This is pretty generic.
I can't believe how many movies Walter Matthau was in.
He was in a ton of movies. And most people haven't seen most of them, I would want to say.
Yeah, I was looking, for some reason, I was looking up Oscars the other day, and I noticed his name popped up, like, in the 60s and
Yeah, I think he might have won a Best Actor Oscar back in the 60s or 70s or something. Or Best Supporting Actor, one of the two. But my main problem with this, and it probably goes back to the book, is I think... It's a boring story that doesn't really go anywhere, and there's nothing interesting about... If it was written back in the 60s or whatever, then the novel thing was that you have hostages being held in a place that the hostage takers can't even escape from, and so the thing becomes, like, how are they going to get out of there? And then they try to find a sneaky way to do it.
It's a tired story.
And then even making it as a movie, like, that was really boring to me. And then... This one is even stupider because in this day and age, I mean, you see it at the end, like their escape plan. They were so combat, like, oh, this is an easy escape plan, and then wham, they get caught just like that. I don't know.
The ending was really lackluster.
Yeah. Even though they threw in the superfluous car chase.
Yeah, but I you'd think
it was not an exciting car chase.
You'd think they could have updated this in some interesting way to give it more heft at the end, and I was really kind of underwhelmed by the fact that they did
The Rock, yellow Ferrari. Yeah. That would have made things
better. Michael Bay-ish.
It's New York City, so he would have had to have gotten, like, the Batmobile and just started steamrolling over people. I mean,
who knows?
Or a big fucking truck, a semi, that would have worked too.
That wasn't what this movie was about.
With
the
run and gun, you know, Terminator 2.
Sure.
I just feel like this was not a... It wasn't a good idea to remake this to begin with. And then the way they pulled it off was just so mediocre, I felt like.
There was so much talent.
There was a lot of talent.
A lot of talent.
Turturro was pretty much just wasted. He just kind of popped very bland
voice.
He's doing that a lot
And then Luis Gonzalez...
Guzman
was just totally wasted. He didn't even get to do his own deal. Yeah, he was totally, literally wasted.
I mean, that was what was at least unique about... Say what you will about the sort of general story and all that. And for the first one, like I said, I like the aesthetic. And the way that they kind of did twist up the ending a little bit, it wasn't a major twist or anything, but, I mean, the Guzman character actually is the one at the end.
Yeah, he's the one. Yeah, that's the thing. That's one of those anticlimactic things.
It's kind of, but it still
makes it kind of a, like...
You remember that.
I remember because the thing I remember is that Jerry Stiller and Matthau show up at the guy's door, and then when he hears him sneeze or something,
and it freeze frames.
Well, not only the freeze frames, but it turns around with them going,
"Yep, I love
it. Gotcha." And it goes, "Wah, wah," freezes in that same
movie. I love
it.
It's great. No, I mean, the original...
I think he pushes his hat back.
Yeah, he might,
too,
yeah.
Looks at him,
the original is just got, like, a certain kind of weird sense of humor to it. And like you said, that whole idea, like, as a heist movie, is a high-octane energy thing. Tony Scott is pushing it with all these artificial grammatical things, like the handheld, the smash zooms, the crappy
no
score.
No Kenny Loggins.
No, it's none of that, because it's not an 80s movie.
They should have dumped some McKinney lines.
All this over-cranking, which I can't stand, it's just like lazy grammar to like make something artificially exciting. But that's not the relevant part here. What's going on, in the original at least, is that it's an interesting story because of the characters, because of the way Robert Shaw acts as he's like so definitive and he's so serious, and the way that Walter Matthau, like you said, is just this like totally schlubby transit cop. Those are unique, and the mayor has got like the flu in the first one, and he doesn't care. And
the mayor was a real jerk.
The whole behavior is different, and in this film, you've got good performances, I think, from characters. You know, Travolta is kind of doing the same old thing.
I like that.
I enjoy
when he does that.
I enjoyed the performances. I just feel like they didn't go all the way with it, and they tried to marry it. And like you said, it ended up making it more generic and more mediocre to do this sort of high-octane elements to it that just, like, didn't matter, you know? Because that's not what that kind of story is really about. It's more about, like, this interaction between this schlubby cop and this guy who thinks he's, like, a kick-ass, super-intelligent, has everything figured out by the numbers, you know, criminal.
Well, one thing that... Think about the inconsistency with the fact that the Travolta character is this, like... You know, you don't have facial hair like that unless you've had a terrible hard life, basically. And he's got tattoos, and the way he talks and his constant swearing. I don't think you're meant. Maybe you are meant to believe. I think you're meant to believe that he got picked up all those things in prison
over 9 years.
I
don't think
people.
No, he was an asshole scumbag before.
But that's the thing. He was in Wall Street, so he couldn't have had the facial hair and the tattoos and all that stuff. You know, like.
He might have had the tats. It was 98 before he finally went out.
It's a different world.
Yeah. Part of it is believable, but I do get what you're saying. In 10 years, they basically are saying this Wall Street, like, white-collar guy ended up going totally whatever. And they had to throw that sort of commentary on Wall Street into it and the stock market and manipulation of all that, which is
and
not...
And, of course, the whole... And I thought that was interesting, too, watching the Dow Jones, because... What it must have been filmed in the last year or so.
Can you believe how dated this film is going to look in like 2 years because of the technology and the Wall Street thing and all that stuff? Like, it just won't be relevant at all to anyone. The technology is going to be so old. Like, you date something by focusing too much on technology in one of these.
Which technology are you saying?
The Bluetooth and the internet on it's just going to be completely irrelevant in like 2 years. They're going to have new technologies that make those utterly unnecessary. That's the problem with like, you always want to try to update stuff so that. You have to have reasons now why people haven't contacted someone with a cell phone in a horror film.
And they make a point of that.
That's dumb. You don't even worry about that. Because it's not going to be...
Well, you know what? In all honesty, 9 times out of 10, if you really fucking need your cell phone, something's going to make it not work.
Yeah.
We've all been in that situation. Battery dies. There's no freaking signal.
I love how the battery dies on the laptop for the
cat. And then he starts it up again.
And then later on, when he thinks he's going to die, he tells his girlfriend...
He starts it up again. Maybe he plugged it in.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So that was stupid.
The battery died. I thought he was turning the volume.
No, it did. It showed he was, and then it was when it was beeping, and the guy with the gun came and looked at it. It showed the battery was like beep beep, and then it went, and it just went black.
Yeah.
So I thought the guy closed it.
No. The battery died. Yeah.
And then it magically came back.
And then he said
the power of love. The battery.
And that was unnecessary.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny. When things shut down, the battery will build up. You ever had your cell phone about to die? Turn it off. Leave it for an hour.
Listen to this guy. Turn it back on. The film. You're defending this film.
No, I'm just saying that they're...
No, if you turn it off, you can buy a little more.
It's a stupid argument because possibly it's not impossible.
That's true.
It's silly. I mean, all these points are really stupid.
Here's the main thing.
Fucked up is the girlfriend sitting there chatting at him, drawing attention to him. Tell me you love me. I don't give a fuck if you get shot.
A lot of that stuff, there's a few places there where that shit is just thrown in for the morons.
Because it's true. But it's true.
For the morons in the audience. That's what that's for. That's what the wife thing is all about. Like, no, someone's going to die. You got to do it yourself. Piano music.
You guys have seen Blow, right?
I haven't seen Blow.
You haven't seen Blow?
I've seen
bits and pieces
of Blow. One of my favorite parts, Johnny Depp, it's towards the end of the movie. Everything's coming crashing down.
Of course.
And Penelope Cruz is just all whacked out on coke and everything. And he's skipping bail. And they're out cruising in one of his cars and like, Miami or some shit.
Pun intended.
And she's just fucking, you know, flipping out in the car, and he notices there's a cop behind him trying to calm her down, and she like starts crawling on top of him and asking, why don't you fuck me anymore? And and you know, you let this dude fuck you, I think you're gonna think you're a fucking faggot. And all this shit, and then, you know, of course, causes him to swear the car lights up. He ends up going to prison for all these years, and just, I don't know, there's something about that female
you
mentality.
You can never factor in female hysteria into an action movie.
Well, here's what really bothered me about that whole...
But they kept it pretty minimal in this film, I think.
The laptop thing is... It served no purpose. It made it so that people could watch it on TV, but who cares?
It was
an
easy way for them to ID people on their end. They were like, "Oh, that's true. So and so, that's this." It just an easy. It was a lazy writing. Basically.
Why didn't the snipers have a camera?
Right.
Yeah,
those camera guns.
They would have figured out, you know, Guzman's character.
They did, and then
that seemed really stupid. I mean, what a fucking risk! You'd think that the hijackers, whatever the hell they are. If they saw that, they'd get pissed off and waste you. So it's like, would you want to take that risk?
Yeah, they never bring up the fact that because it's on the news, the laptop, that Travolta would know that meant that there was... And then it didn't matter in the end anyway, because once one of the guys figures out that it's there, he's like laughing about it. And then
they needed Channel 5 News. They needed... What's this fuck?
I have no idea.
Is he dead yet? He doesn't work anymore.
Dan Rather?
No. Well, he's... No,
Walter Cronkite.
He's still alive, right?
Yeah.
No, what's his name? The dude from
Ted
ABC.
Koppel.
Ted Koppel. Oh, I was thinking of that. I'm not even thinking
John
of
John Stossel.
I'm thinking of Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. The guy from Die Hard.
They needed that element, too.
You need a muckraker in there.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, why not in this movie? It could have been... Maybe, I don't know.
You got was one dude fucking with the mayor about his extramarital affair
real quick, and I mean, so I would say the performances in the past are serviceable, that the plot works fine, it's modern and it's generic and it's mediocre and ridiculous music.
I also like, because this is the dumbest thing maybe in the whole movie, I've said that like four times now, but so at the very end, the semi-motivationless Denzel Washington character has admitted to whatever felonious things he might have done in the past, so he, you know, By
under
all,
extreme duress,
all intents and purposes, this man should be going to prison. And the mayor's
and
like...
In real life, there's a strong possibility they'd probably still charge him.
Right, but the mayor goes, hey, guess what? Since you did your job, like what your job is, what you get paid for today, I'm going to make sure that you basically, you skip any punishment for the wrongdoing you did.
It's Star Trek 4
like,
all
yes.
over again.
Yes, woo! They should have high-fived.
They should have
made out right there.
It's Star Trek 4 all over again.
It's one of those things where, like, basically, do whatever you want in life, and
if you're a good guy, in the end, it'll matter.
Yeah, if you did it for the right reasons, if you, you know, I mean,
no, I mean,
what crimes aren't committed with the person thinking they're doing it for the right reasons?
No, things
murder
do
is
balance
done
themselves
by people
out.
Thinking they're doing it for the right reason. You know?
You save, you know, if you're involved in saving in a real direct role like he was, and saving 17,
which
people
was above and beyond, is
sure. Yeah,
and
above and
beyond
what judges will be like, well, you know, considering what you've done, and like we'll call it
time serve and be good, and you save the city a bunch of money to try you anyway.
What's
you know?
That dude's name that played his boss?
Guy just plays pricks.
He plays
New Year's pricks.
He was Grandma on Rounders.
Yeah, he was.
Yes,
yeah.
Grandma.
Yeah. Grandmother.
And he was Richie, or not Richie, he was, that was kind
of
funny.
He was
too.
One of the guys in Sopranos, yeah.
At the very he was the boss at the very beginning. Tony's friend. Jackie Prue.
That's true. Okay.
I like how in most of the time in Rounders, he was wearing those red pajamas.
Yeah.
And the hat. Can't forget the pajamas.
I am glad about that, though, that they didn't play up the whole... Like, they did at the beginning a little bit with the antagonism between him and Denzel Washington.
It went away pretty quick.
And it pretty quickly turned out, like, he wasn't going to be a prick. He wasn't going to be an artificial antagonist in the story. It was just going to focus on...
It was above him.
Exactly. They just... They worked together, yeah.
Just breaking balls.
And so in that sense, I mean, even the mayor who, you know, had his problems and everything, like, was able to, like, serve a purpose to help figure out the identity of Travolta. And so, like, in that sense, I mean, yeah, it's definitely
they
a passable
made the mayor
film.
A lot more of an actual strong character than he was. In the, he was comedic in the original one. It was, like you said, he had a cold, he didn't want to do anything, and every time the guy kept saying, you got to make a decision here, he's like, I don't want to, you do it.
Like, it was like Hitler on D-Day.
Yeah, sure.
It was ridiculous, but I mean, that was what made that movie unique. That and the whole ending and the schlubbiness of Walter Matthau and stuff. And so, you know, this movie is less memorable than the original. I don't like the aesthetic with the overcranking,
it's a nice profile.
And the perpetual
his mom was cutting his hair and gave him a mullet for a moment. I told him he should have kept it, but...
Definitely. But, I mean, that's my stance. I think I give it a 3 out of 5, just because it's passable. I would say that any, you know, if your mom or your folks or whoever likes movies that have got a decent bit of action and are kind of a quick...
Movies for guys who like movies?
Story. Yeah, it's a Spike movie, let's say.
I don't think this is a Spike movie.
Maybe not. There's not enough ninjas and breasts in it.
No, yeah, there really weren't any breasts. No,
there weren't at all. They played that down. They did use, to their credit, it looked like they used practical effects at the end.
For when they some shot of the blood, people to death, some of the they violence. Just basically pumped blood out of a hose from their shirt.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was better than digital stuff.
They're CGing that now?
They do, yeah, mostly.
No squibs anymore?
Like, have you seen the new Rambo movie? A lot of that is CG. Yeah, you can tell. It doesn't look right. Some about it looks like ink or something. It kind of...
It'd be hard to do that if you're, like, shooting somebody with a 50, though, because they'd explode.
Yeah, exactly.
Though, well, freaking, what's his... Jack Black, man.
Yeah,
and so his
arm, and
the
jackal. Another Bruce Willis classic.
Let me ask another you, great as a gun person.
Yeah.
So they shoot
with a freaking anti-aircraft
gun. Yeah. By the way, this guy got bit by a rat in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and which was one of those.
If he had his finger on the trigger,
well, it was a contrivance deal.
Oh, yeah,
because like you see a rat earlier, and you're like, oh, that rat's going to bite him, and then it bites him, and then he fires, which is a dumb setup because that means.
Have you shot a rifle or a sniper?
Yeah,
I have.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that's a problem. The problem is that they put a rat there in the script, and then that's a contrivance that makes it so that Denzel has to come in and pilot the train later.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, my question to you is this. Whatever gun that guy was using, would that have put a tiny hole in his head? Because they show his head later, and considering the size of the hole in the window and the amount of blood and stuff, like it went through his head. Would it have been a tiny hole, or would his head have like
his head would have exploded? It was a 308.
So why didn't they
close
do that?
Range?
Because then it'd be a harder R than I guess.
I guess it'd depend on whether it was a soft point, whether it's full metal jacket. If it's full metal jacket.
What would a sniper most likely use?
It would depend on what they were planning on shooting.
He had to shoot through a glass.
Because you want to be careful, because those bullets, I mean, there's frag bullets, there's all kind of... A bullet like that, you know, that bullet would freaking go all the way through the goddamn car and, like, go through how many people, so... It'd
be a corn situation.
It's like a lot of times they have multiple... It would be... With the corn monster, with the...
No, like the music video.
The corn music video. It would have gone through the kid's laptop and smashed through a bottle of water. And...
Uh-huh. Or like the 88 Magnum and Johnny Dangerously. The tree outside, the school, the victim. Yeah, that's all good stuff.
Or like Burt Gummer and Tremors 2 with the World War One bullet.
That's not so grass, just thinking though...
They should have used poison tip bullets.
They should have.
That way if it doesn't kill him right away, he dies moments later.
The trigger would be so sensitive. I'd literally be like 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds.
Crazy. What do you guys give it? I give it 3.
I give it 2 or 2.5.
Two and a half out of five. Okay, yeah. Good. So
it was. It hooked me in briefly, and then I just started.
It got me going in the second act.
Yeah, I agree. I was wanting to dislike it at the beginning, and then I kind of maybe gave it more credit than it deserves later on because it just kind of did draw me in.
They needed to compromise Denzel Washington a lot more.
I think so too. I think that his look would, like I said, if they'd shaven him and taken the earring out, he would have looked more.
He would have looked less like what you think. I mean, at least wound the motherfucker.
Possibly, and then I'm still wondering the way that they did the whole thing about him confessing. It still kind of leaves it open to whether or not he was just lying because that's what the guy wanted to hear.
I thought there was going to be some sort of twist in the end.
I thought there was too.
Where he told Travolta, remember what you said about bluffing? I did that too.
Yeah,
no, I'm doing this, but that would leave him even less motivationless. Because at this point, people keep mentioning, you feel like you got to redeem yourself, like, mm-hmm. and he kind of keeps, like, going forward, like he really is trying to redeem himself.
That the redemption is dumb too, but which is why it would have been better if it had been a twist and he just done it because he needed to do it, you know.
You know, that's topical too, because there was all that crap, especially with European businessmen, into certain areas in the world that everybody's trying to reach out to and do business. That's just how business is done.
That's what you're right.
So they're trying to make it legal.
Grease the wheels.
Grease the palm.
You can't do business in Africa or South America or some Asian countries without...
It's a gift. Bribery.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad was like at a conference one time where the guys, is it Bechtel or something? It's like a big engineering firm. They were talking about how, you know, to avoid problems with... with stuff like that when they're building things. They're like, yeah, we basically just, we don't do business in, and one place was some place that sounded very obviously corrupt, and then another place is, or New York City. We just don't, we don't work there because we just don't want
to
deal with it.
You'd have to deal with OC in New York. Yeah. Still, I imagine.
You have to deal with all kinds of...
That was in so awesome. Management. You see Back to School.
Yeah, I do see Back to School.
Yeah, of course. That's so great when Rodney Dangerfield starts lecturing the professor about the economics.
What are you making? You know, what size is... No, it was good. I enjoyed it. It's a widget. What's a widget? I don't understand. Anyway, yeah. Pelham 123, the remake is...
The taking of Pelham 123.
Is about what you'd think. I would recommend seeing the original. It is a little slow. It is definitely kind of dated for what it is, but I think it's a more memorable, more unique kind of heist film. This is totally passable for, you know, like, your folks and whatever else. You're not going to have to leave the room. There's nothing terribly embarrassing or weird. There's a bit of violence, but the violence is pretty low.
Foul language. It's so ubiquitous now. I mean, really, yeah. It's like the... Fuck is the.
Definitely. So that's that. If you want to check us out, you can check out...
If you see the original and you dig Robert Shaw, be sure to check out The Deep. Nick Nolte, Lou Goss,
yeah.
Jacqueline Bisset.
That's right.
Just got to throw that out there.
Yeah.
So you can see a good movie.
Robert Shaw's done some good stuff.
Good stuff. His last movie.
And you can check us out at graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. Send us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how we're doing over here. And that's that. Any closing remarks?
When are you going to come up with a catchphrase like bonsai or something?
My catchphrase is I just go, welcome to the Futile Podcast. That's my thing.
That's boring.
It's simple and straightforward.
See, this is your demographic.
I'll have
my head writer over here.
You gotta have like a Paul Harvey thing at the end. Paul Harvey. Good day. No, you gotta have a really long pause and then say something.
You could do some kind of cool soundbite, you know, like.
I usually
that's
do
good
for
soup
for the singers.
You know,
that's
something.
Good soup.
Exactly.
Well, this was bad mush, poorly prepared, sort of still undercooked oatmeal of a film.
We'll have to come up with something good for you to say.
Okay. Well, until then, signing off.
Yo, it's 3030. I want y'all to meet Deltron Zero Hero. Not no small feat. It's all heat in this day and age. I'll rage a grave. Anything it takes to save the day. Neuromancer. Perfect blend of technology and magic. Use my rapping so you all can see the hazards. Plus entertainment where many are brainless. We cultivated a lost art of study and I brought a buddy. Automator, harder slayer, fascinating combination. Cyber warlords are activating abominations. Arm a nation with hatred, we ain't with that. We high tech archaeologists searching for knickknacks, composing musical stem packs that impacts the soul.
You need to release some sort of drug that allowed him to live longer.
I think you should apply for a grant to study that.
I think I will.